Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly Patreon cast. And this time there are three things I want to talk about. The first one is GNOME 44. I've been trying it out a little bit to write my review, which is going to be published tomorrow on the YouTube channel. And they have taken an interesting direction that I hope prefigures what vision they're going to try and implement in the future, and that vision seems to be listening to their users more, which I really like. The second topic is based on a DistroTube video. Derek at DistroTube, which is another YouTube channel if you don't know, just made a video called Linux is Getting Complex and Limiting. And I feel that all the arguments there, I hold the exact opposite opinion, and so I wanted to discuss it. I don't do reaction videos, so I'm just going to talk about it in this podcast. But yeah, I feel that the arguments are just not right, or at least the conclusion drawn from them is the wrong one, so I'm going to talk about that. And the last topic will be the fact that I'm feeling a little doubt about YouTube these days, and I just want to go over that very quickly. So first is GNOME 44, and honestly, on paper, it's a very evolutionary release. There's not much that is very different from GNOME 43. They added a few refinements here and there. They just polished up the quick settings, revamped the lock screen, added a few features to the file manager and Epiphany and some other core apps. What else? They changed up some settings, revamped some accessibility panels. There's nothing really major, there's no big change in the user interface, there's no real revolution of anything. It's an evolutionary release. But in the features that they added and the revamps and the options they added, I think I saw something emerge, which is basically the fact that they finally added a lot of things that people have been clamoring for years. They basically added back options and features that they had refused to add back for a long while. For example, you can now disable the overlay scroll bars, which means that you can have always visible scroll bars at all times, something that a lot of people wanted. You now have the background app section in the quick settings, which is not entirely a replacement for notification tray icons, but it's a move to at least provide a solution to not having tray icons by default, which is also very good. You can now disable mouse acceleration, which is something that people have been asking for a long while. You now get image thumbnails in the file picker, something that people have wanted for 10 years and more. You get the expandable directory tree in the list view in the file manager back. Basically, they added a lot of stuff that people have been nagging GNOME to get for a long while. Those have been the reasons people say, oh, GNOME is unusable because I can't disable mouse acceleration. The scroll bars are unusable. There's no thumbnails in the file picker. There's no tray icons. They just broke the desktop. And so now they're adding those things back. And I don't know if it's a conscious, voluntary decision. I don't know if that's something that they're doing because they want to focus more on adding stuff people want. But it definitely feels like that, and I hope that that's the goal, because while I do find GNOME, even in its vanilla form, very usable, I still tend to add back a few things, notably tray icons, because there is no suitable replacement for that for a lot of applications, like for example Nextcloud. I do add a few extensions that just change a few things graphically, but in terms of layout, I don't add a dock, I don't change the activities view, I don't add specific features. My main extensions are basically just improving on the quick settings, and I won't really need those anymore once GNOME 44 is out, which is very cool. So I like the fact that they have their opinions, but I also absolutely understand people that find GNOME very limiting, which is another topic we'll talk about in a few minutes. I also understand why people might think that, because it's a super opinionated desktop, and very basic features have not been added for a long while. And now they're adding them, which kind of fixes one of the main complaints about GNOME that people have, which is that it doesn't listen to its users. Basically, some people think that GNOME just creates something that they like, that they want to use, and that they don't care about the real users, which it's not an opinion that I subscribe to personally, because I feel that they are just protecting the vision that they have, and they are being very intentional with what they add. But still, there were plenty of things that really are needed in a desktop, in a graphical desktop, and that weren't there, and that are now being added back. which is really cool. So I really hope that this GNOME 44 cycle is the beginning of a new, let's say, era of GNOME being more open to adding back certain features. And I don't want them to just cave in to the pressure and add anything and everything. I don't want GNOME to turn into GTK KDE with tons of options everywhere. That's not useful. We already have that super complete desktop environment. It's KDE. We have GTK desktop environments that are super flexible, like Cinnamon, Mate, or XFCE. We don't need GNOME to turn into that. They need to protect that vision. And it's not for everyone, and it's okay. But I do hope that they keep this in mind, that they keep adding those features that people are asking for, those small options, those small quality of life things that really just make it easier for people to get used to the desktop. If you're coming from Windows or macOS, you expect a certain number of options. And since GNOME is basically the default desktop environment for every single major distro out there, then it means that it has to have these little quality of life improvements and these little options, because people are expecting to find them, and so not having them available gives a bad impression of Linux. It feels limited, which it shouldn't be. And so with GNOME 44, I think it won't feel limiting or as limiting as before, and I think it's really, really good. It's also interesting to see that it feels like maybe it's GTK 4 and Libertvita that let them do this. I have this impression, it might be completely false because I'm not a GTK developer, but I felt like GTK 3 was a version that really stopped GNOME in its tracks. It felt too complex, it felt hard to use, it felt hard to develop for, and it felt like basically a lot of things that they wanted to do could not be done with GTK 3, whether you were an app developer or working on GNOME. And it feels like the move to GTK 4 and to Libertvita cleaned up the code base, added a lot of easier ways to do things and to develop things. And now that the porting efforts to GTK 4 are basically complete for all the core GNOME apps and for the GNOME shell and for Mutter, the window manager, they also completely removed everything linked to GTK 3 in GNOME 44. Now that this work is complete and that the code base for all the theming and the widgets and the code base for the toolkit itself are separated, it feels like they can actually move forward and do more stuff. And so maybe the problem was never that GNOME did not want to add these features, but maybe it was just that it was way too much work in GTK 3 and nobody wanted to tackle that. And with GTK 4, it's now way easier. That's kind of how I feel, because it also feels like that in the GNOME app ecosystem. Ever since they released GTK 4 and Libertvita, the number of apps developed for GNOME has exploded. There's a lot more apps. GNOME Circle, they're their own app ecosystem that follows the GNOME HIG. It now has more than 50 applications. It basically caught up to what Elementary OS has in a matter of a year. And that's not counting all the other GTK apps that existed for a while but are not part of GNOME Circle because they don't follow exactly to the letter the HIG. It feels like even the applications that are being developed are now way more powerful. There are still a ton of small one-purpose apps that have three buttons and a very basic feature set, but there are way more complex ones. If you look at stuff like GNOME Builder, if you look at stuff like Denaro, they are big applications that do a lot of things, have plenty of options, and are powerful and still retain a simple interface. And I feel that maybe GTK 4 enabled that, and with GTK 3 it was just too hard and too complex to create things. So I like this direction. I hope I'm not wrong. I hope this means that GNOME will start adding back more options and be a little bit more open to customization, to modification, because there's a good balance to strike there between the super simplicity and vision that they have and something as complex as KDE. There's room in the middle for GNOME to be a little bit more open about all these options, and I hope that GNOME 44 is the first step in that direction. Now, let's have a little bit of drama. No, just kidding, not drama. But I don't do reaction videos on my channel. I think they're pretty much low-effort content unless you really have a super specific expertise that you can add to a topic. And so I will never do a reaction video saying, hey, you know what, this guy said something, it's stupid, and let's talk about it. But this last video from DistroTube really rubbed me the wrong way because it really felt like it was in bad faith. So DistroTube is generally a channel that I kind of enjoy. I think the guy is very grounded. I think he has his own opinions that I generally don't always agree with, especially on GNOME, Wayland, and the new technological stack that Linux has. He's basically kind of against it, and I'm basically all for it. But I still find the guy honest, transparent, and he just exposes his opinions. He's not trying to say that everything else is wrong. He's talking about what he thinks, and I like that. So it's a channel I generally enjoy, even though I don't agree with everything they said. But this last video they made, which is called Linux is Getting Complex and Limiting, in my opinion, is grabbing this whole situation the exact wrong way. Basically what he says is that with GTK2 and GNOME 2, it was the pinnacle of Linux. Everything was great, everything was modifiable, super easy. You could create themes super easily, customize your desktop super easily. All the subsystems were modifiable, interchangeable. And with the release of GNOME 3 and the new technological stack with Wayland and Systemd and Pulse Audio, then Pipewire, things just turned wrong, basically. Things just went wrong, and now nothing is customizable, everything is limited, things have become more complex to use and to tweak, and he doesn't like it, and he preferred the old way. And I think all these arguments and all these opinions are just completely missing the point. They're completely wrong, I think. Because first, GTK2 and GNOME 2 themes, they were not easier to make than GTK3 or GTK4 themes. They were easier to apply, but creating those themes was a nightmare. You had to write a theming engine or use a theming engine that already existed, and that was extremely limiting in what you could do. If you look at the GNOME 2 themes, they were just basically the exact same with a different border radius around the buttons and the tabs, and different colors and gradients. That's it. You could do nothing else. There was no customization at all. It was basically just taking an already existing theme and changing a gradient value and a border radius. No one developed complex themes. In GTK 3, if you look at what you can do between, for example, the theme in PopOS, the theme in Ubuntu, the LibAdvaita theme, and a lot of others that even have background transparency and no buttons or look like iOS or Android, you could never do that with GNOME 2. So themes are easier with GTK3 and GTK4. They're harder to apply because, yes, now with Flatpak and with LibAdvaita, you have to jump through a few hoops to apply them. But theming is way easier now than it ever was because writing a theme in CSS, even if it's a pain to replace the style sheet, writing the theme in CSS is way easier than writing a theme in C or C++ plus a config file or anything. And themes didn't die at all with GNOME 3. On the contrary, they got more varied and more distinct. There are more themes that look completely different now than there were on GNOME 2. So now he then goes on saying that GNOME and GTK destroyed that customization on desktop Linux when they released GNOME 3. And again, I think it's completely wrong, because not only is GNOME extremely customizable, from themes to extensions, you can turn your desktop into something you could never do with GNOME 2 at the time, but it also created more desktop environments. It created Cinnamon, it created Mate, it created Budgie, because people did not want to stick to GNOME, they wanted to have more customization, and so they created other desktops. So in a way, GNOME 3 actually multiplied the number of choices that we have on the Linux desktop, and it didn't kill any customization, it offered more than there ever was. And if you like that GNOME 2 feel of being able to customize and change the themes, you still have Mate, which is exactly like GNOME 2, with the exact same themes. Everything still works like that. So I don't really understand the argument. The next one was Compiz and Desktop Effects, which he says that we don't have these effects anymore on Linux, and that's not true. You can still install and use Compiz and have access to all these effects. I think it's the Fedora spin of Mate that uses Compiz out of the box. It still exists and it still works. And if you don't use Compiz, you still have a ton of desktop effects on KDE that have the exact same effects as Compiz. You can extend that with plugins. And on GNOME, you have the Burn My Windows extensions that replicates a lot of these effects as well. So this also didn't disappear, but actually grew into more options. And it also works on Wayland as well as X11, which also debunks one of his arguments, which is saying that Wayland is more complex and limiting than X11, which, again, today is not true. Because X11 was a very complex environment that you had to use when you were using it or developing a window manager or compositor. Wayland as a protocol and a code base and let's say a feature set is way simpler. It's way more basic. And yes, developing a compositor for Wayland is way more work than just developing a window manager for X11, because all the features were already in X11, when with Wayland, it's just a protocol and you have to implement it in the compositor. So it is true that creating a compositor on Wayland is more complex. But for users, it's way simpler, it's less prone to breakage, or at least it will be once it's widely available and more tested. It's a step forward, and it's not limiting you at all, because if you prefer X11, you still have it. And if you prefer Wayland, you now have a simpler, more robust, and more secure solution. And he's also saying that with Wayland, it's become super hard to develop a window manager, like, for example, i3 and Awesome Window Manager, and that basically they're all going to be forks of each other because redeveloping support for the whole Wayland protocol is too complex. But that's ignoring that all the window managers we currently have on X11 are also forks of each other. The tiling WMs, they're basically all forks of each other. They all started off of the same base, so it doesn't change anything with Wayland. It's still open source, you're still going to base your work off of somebody else's. And why is it a bad thing to fork a window manager and add more features? It's not a problem. It's not limiting or complicated, it's actually easier. So I don't really understand that. And he says that basically the Linux desktop is now becoming a mess that is stacking stuff on top of each other, but that was the way it was before. Nowadays it's super streamlined, you have fewer components that are adopted by everyone, but you can still replace these components by stuff that isn't adopted by every distro. You can still replace systemd if you want. You can still replace Wayland with X11. You can replace your window manager, your file manager. It's still all open. You can still build your own workflow. It's just that the hacky way the Linux desktop worked, which was basically held together with duct tape and string and was very, very poorly built and very hacky and not robust at all, is being replaced by something that is more streamlined, more common between distributions. But it doesn't mean your options aren't there. It just means that most distros have picked the easier option for users and the easier option for them to implement. But it doesn't mean that all other options have disappeared. That's just not true. The Linux desktop is not more complex than it was. It's actually way easier. It's never been easier to install Linux and use it, even if you don't know anything about it. And if you're a complete tweaker, hacker, customizer that wants to replace everything, you still have all the choices you had before and even more choices. So I don't really understand the video or the argument. Basically, it feels like nostalgia, like rose-tinted glasses, like he loved the hacky way Linux worked before and the fact that he had to fix things in the background all the time and that from time to time your system doesn't boot and you feel great because you managed to fix it yourself. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like it's a grounded opinion at all, and I absolutely disagree with all of it. In my opinion, the Linux desktop is more robust, more varied, has more customization options, is easier to work with, to develop for, and to use than it ever was. It's a better system today in every regard than it was in 2006. It's more varied and more interesting, and all the power has never disappeared. It's the same argument as Linux is being dumbed down, which is a false argument. That's not true. Linux is not being dumbed down because the basic distros meant for regular users became simpler, but they didn't become less powerful. You still have all the choices. And so I just wanted to react to that video, but in a podcast, not on my channel. I don't want to stir up drama with other YouTubers. It's going to be misinterpreted. It's going to be shared. People are going to say, oh, look, there's a beef between blah, blah, DistroTube and Linux Experiment. I don't want that. But I just wanted to talk about it here to sort of vent and maybe have your opinion as well, because I know a lot of you are newcomers to Linux, but a lot of you are also, like me, old-timers on the Linux, or even sometimes you started using Linux way before I did. So I think it might be interesting to have a discussion in the comments of this Patroncast just to see what you think about this topic. Do you feel that Linux has become more limiting and more complicated to use and to hack and to tweak, or do you feel like it's been going the right way, like I think? So the last topic is going to be about YouTube and how I'm sort of doubting myself these days. It's this kind of period where you don't really know if what you're doing is good, is useful, or will be sustainable in the long term. It's some kind of anticipation of the future that is completely stupid, but I just cannot help feeling. I've gone through January and February, which are the usual two bad months, and I accepted that performance just was not good and that revenue was subpar compared to other months. But now March is also being a disappointing month for now. It's even lower in terms of views and revenue than February. And so it's starting to drag on this period where the channel is not doing as well as it once did, and that it's starting to weigh a little bit on me. Now, I know there are a few very rational reasons for that. I missed one video compared to the usual in a normal month because I was on holiday, and a few videos did relatively poorly, like the Twitter Everything app video or the Flathub is not evil video. These ones just didn't do as well as the baseline for my videos. And more worryingly, some news videos that usually always have a good baseline performance also performed not that great. And honestly, if I really think about it critically, it's not that worrying. Revenue is still absolutely good enough to make a living off. The number of views is still more than enough for the sponsors because the prices have been the same since I started getting sponsors when I was 10,000 subs. I didn't increase my prices, so they are always getting more views than what they used to for the same price, which is probably stupid of me, but it also guarantees that I keep having sponsors. So it's not that worrying, and no video was a complete disaster like a hardware review could have been. But after 3 months of diminishing views, diminishing revenue, it's starting to take a bit of a toll, and I'm starting to wonder if that's just the start of the decline of the channel and the interest around it. I'm starting to think that maybe, I don't know, people just don't care that much anymore or are not interested that much anymore. And maybe it's the choice of topics. Maybe the topics I cover have strayed a bit too far from Linux. Maybe I cover too much privacy, online safety, online services, moving away from Google, stuff like that. Maybe it's not Linux-focused enough. Or maybe it's just all in my head and it just happens to have a few bad months in a row. And if I'm honest, there's nothing to worry about. I could still basically half my views and half the number of sponsors I have, and I could still pay the bills. It would not be extremely comfortable, but I could still make a living relatively easily. But it's just demoralizing to see your work not pay off as well as it used to. So what do you think? I'm interested, because do you feel that the topics that I cover are now just not that super interesting anymore, and you skip some videos because you don't feel like they cover stuff that you're interested in? Do you feel like the channel has lost itself a little bit this past month? Do you think I should refocus on looking at more applications, more distributions, more tutorials, instead of looking at online services and privacy? Let me know what you think. I'm very interested about that because it's really hard when you're focused on doing those videos. It's really hard to really know if what you're doing is coherent and intelligent. It's hard to step back and look critically at your own work. So if you want to be my sounding board, basically, if you want to help me figure out what the problem might be, or maybe there's no problem and it's just that, you know what, sometimes a video just doesn't perform that well. It happens. Well, let me know in the comments. I'm very interested in your opinions on this. So, this will conclude this Patroncast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you have any comments or opinions about GNOME 44, about Linux getting complex and limiting or not, and about, I don't know, maybe the suitability of my topics or the general feeling of the channel that might have changed, let me know down there in the comments and we'll talk about it. So, thanks for listening. As always, thank you all for supporting the channel, and I guess you will hear me in the next one. Bye!